This morning I'll be reading to you out of the Gospel of John, chapter 10, verses 22 through 30. And the general conversation that's happening here is how Jesus is rejected by the Jewish community yet again. And we hear how Jesus responds to this and how this speaks to us now in terms of what we see and what we encounter as barriers to making disciples. Hear now the Word of God. At that time, the festival of the dedication took place in Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was walking in the temple in the portico of Solomon. So the Jews gathered around him and said to him, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Messiah, tell us plainly." Jesus answered, "I have told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name testify to me. But you do not believe because you do not belong to my sheep. My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. What my Father has given me is greater than all else, and no one can snatch it out of the Father's hand. The Father and I are one." This is the Word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Now, you may have said this, or you may have been told this, or you've heard it somewhere. "I've already told you once, so quit asking." Or, "I've already answered you, what more do you want?" Or perhaps if we're talking to a kid, or to a student, or to someone we're charged with leading, we might say, "I've already told you no. Don't keep asking until you get a different answer." Perhaps you've said these things, or perhaps you have been the person who has been asked these things. You know, that person that wants that answer, especially if they're a kid, and if you're a parent, a grandparent, or maybe just think back to our own childhood. How many times did we wear our own parents down, maybe, by asking and asking and asking and asking until we could get the answer that we wanted? Because if I wanted to go do something, there was only one answer I was going to be happy with, and that was my answer. So if I wanted something to happen, I was going to keep asking to the point that my parents got really, really, really mad at me, or I was going to wear them down so much that they were going to finally say yes so that I would just get off their case. And perhaps we've been in that situation. Someone who asks and asks and asks and asks the same questions in hopes of hearing a different answer. You see, a lot of times what happens in our own lives or the lives of those around us is when we ask a question, we already have an answer in mind. And there's only one right answer. And it might be that we take a position on something in this world, and we only have one answer that we can see. We've got our blinders on. There might be a whole host of other possibilities out here, but the only answer we can see is right there in front of us, and it's the answer that we've already come up with. So then it might be, well, why do we ask the question? If we already know the answer we want to hear, and we're not going to accept anything to that answer, then maybe we shouldn't be asking the question at all. Maybe we're asking permission to do something. Maybe we want something new. Maybe we have our thoughts fixated on something, and so we have that only that one answer that we'll do. And it might be in the work environment. Maybe we want a different schedule, or we want a different job assignment. So we go to our boss and we say, "Listen, this is what I think ought to happen." And if they tell us anything other than what we want to hear, we get mad. Or maybe it's in our family environment. If we want to, we say something about a particular vacation and we're trying to decide on something and we really have our minds fixated on going to the beach and everybody else suggests all of this other stuff, we're only going to be happy when we hear that one answer. Our brothers and sisters, what happens when we take this type of position is that we don't see the bigger picture because we're so focused inwardly. And what happens is when people get so focused inwardly, they don't see that bigger picture. So I might say the same thing about our church institution. When we have an answer that we want to hear with some ministry or mission or progress, or maybe it is about some position or controversy in our community, our world, and our church, maybe we set up rigidly with only one possible answer. Again, focused on our needs, our desires, our goals. And we only see that one answer. So we ask these repetitive questions because we are the ones with disbelief about something. And so we ask these questions because we want to hear something different than what maybe we're not prepared to hear a different answer. Maybe we're not prepared to consider a different possibility. Maybe we're not prepared to consider a different future in terms of our family or our work or our church or our own individual faith. But what happens is because of our narrow focus, sometimes we lose sight of the bigger picture. Now, when I say these things, maybe these descriptions don't apply to you. They apply to me because I can tell you I have been that person who I've got, that's the only thing that's going to work for me is that one answer. I've been that person that has worn my parents down. I've been that person who have been aggravating to my bosses. I have been that person that has been aggravating to my family until I get the answer that I want. But if it doesn't apply to you, what we need to remember is this. Is that when we go out into this community to make disciples, that we have to remember that if it doesn't describe you, it does describe this community in which we live very well. People have developed their own silos, their own positions, their own excuses, their own idea of what's right and what's wrong. And those are the things that we have to overcome as barriers to help see the bigger picture that is in Jesus Christ, the Savior of all mankind, the Messiah, the one who delivers us and the one who saved us. And that we have to overcome those barriers in our process of making disciples and carrying out the mission of the church, making disciples for the transformation of the world. And so this scripture helps us to see this. Because here is Jesus at the festival of dedication, also called Hanukkah, in December, in the winter. And he's being questioned by the Jewish community again. And so he's being questioned by the Jewish community again because they can't quite buy into this whole concept that he is the Messiah, the Savior of all mankind. Because, yes, they've got the virgin birth. They've got that. And then they've got a child who goes absent for a period of time that you don't read a lot about in Scripture until he's about 12 years old. And then he appears in the temple speaking. And then you don't hear much from him again until he's about 30 years old. Now he's walking around, teaching, preaching, speaking about being the Messiah, doing all of these things in the name of God the Father, doing these things. And so the Jewish community is having a challenge believing who he is. Because they're trying to believe through the lens of the world and not through the lens of their faith. If you think about it, if one of us were to rise up out of here and to be consider ourselves a prophet or to consider ourselves a preacher. I mean, if you think about it, I mean, what we do in the Methodist church especially is you generally don't end up serving in your home church. I mean, and Jesus has said that in the scripture about how everyone else might see, but the people in your own community don't see. Well, it would be hard for someone to rise up out of a church and to be a preacher in that church because of some of those challenges of knowing every misstep that they took or every place that they made a mistake or every place where there were some questions about their position as they grew up. And so preachers are generally cultivated out of a congregation and they're sent. They're sent into service somewhere else. And so the Jewish community is having a little bit of a challenge dealing with this. Now, I'm not saying that they should have the challenge because it has been pretty clear. They're just having a, they don't want to believe it. What they want is they want a black and white answer that makes them happy. They want a black and white answer that says, they don't want to hear that Jesus is the Messiah. They're saying it again. What they're saying is, how long are you going to keep us in suspense? Don't make us keep wondering. Don't make us keep guessing. Don't make us keep this position. Just tell us that you're a prophet or you're something else, but you're not the Son of God. Just go ahead and tell us that. If you are the Messiah, tell us plainly. But what they're really saying is tell us that you go ahead and get it out of the way. Put this ruse behind us. You're not the Son of God. You're not the Messiah. Go ahead and tell us that so we can get on about our business, because we've got our own institutional religion that we've established, and you're going against the grain. So they keep asking the question over and over and over, even up to the point of his death, even after his death and on, they continue to question Christ as the Messiah, because they have a disbelief and unbelief. They want an answer, but they want their answer. They want to hear, but they want to hear what they want to hear. They want a black and white answer, as long as that black and white is what they already have in their mind. They are the ones that keep asking these repetitive questions, looking for a different answer, because they don't want to believe that Jesus is the Messiah. Their personal beliefs, their personal experience are standing away in the way of them experiencing what God has intended for them to experience through Jesus Christ as the Savior. They were rigid in their positions, and they could only see one thing. Even to the detriment of their society, to the detriment of their faith, to the detriment of their church, they were so rigid in one position that they could not potentially see anything outside of what they had with their blinders on. And that sounds pretty familiar, I think, when we look at our church society, church community today. There are those places where we only believe that there is one answer. We only believe that God intended for one thing. We only believe that God meant one thing when He said it in the Scriptures. And we only believe that there's one thing for us, one place for us to stand on so many different places and so many different issues. But so Jesus, in response to this Jewish community that has questioned Him again, He gives them a really pointed answer. So, and that's one of the things we see with Jesus sometimes, is the way that He says things and the words that He uses, He really just spins it around and makes it just cut to the point and say, wow. And sometimes, I mean, our hearts feel the pains from that. I mean, you probably have been in a situation sometime when something slipped out of your mouth and you said, whoa, that was not very Christ-like. I probably shouldn't have said that, and it hurt. We were drawn to a pretty quick self-realization that is not what we should have said. Or perhaps some way we were thinking, or something that we did, it probably made us, we probably felt some pain and guilt over that for a while because of the way that it happened. So Christ draws it to our attention when we're not doing as we should. And so what Jesus says to this Jewish community is basically, I have already told you so. I have already showed you. I've already given you the answer. What more do you want? I've told you and you don't believe. That's what He says. He said, I have told you and you do not believe. You're asking me about being the Messiah. I have told you and you don't believe. And even more than that, the works I do in my Father's name testify to me. So you've seen it. I've not only spoken it, but you've seen it. Yet you do not believe. Why? Because you do not belong to my sheep. Wow. Jesus just said to them that you're not on my team. He said to them that you're not in my flock. He said to them that you really don't believe, and as a result, what you think you've got a relationship with God, you don't have it. He just called them out, stepped on their toes, and told them that the reason they were having a hard time believing is because they didn't get it. And you can imagine how that feels to be told that you just don't get it. Maybe as a student in a class, maybe as a husband or a wife in a relationship, maybe as a parent, maybe as a child. Or what about a child of God? And we're being told that we don't quite get it. So Jesus says that. He says, you do not belong to my sheep. Why? Because my sheep hear my voice. And I know them. And they follow me. So my sheep know my voice. My sheep hear. My sheep believe. The followers of Christ believe and they follow. They understand because they know my voice and I know them. And what's going to happen because of this? I will give them eternal life and they will never perish. Amen. Amen. And he calls them out. And today I think there are places that Jesus calls us out. And places where we become so rigid that perhaps we're not listening with the ears of our heart. Where is he calling us to go? Where is he calling us to join him? How is he calling us to serve them? You see, Jesus invites this Jewish community to consider the possibility that the reason that they're not hearing is because they don't believe and are not yet part of his flock. So there's an invitation to change, an invitation to think differently. And I think today that Jesus uses us to help others be invited to the possibility of change, the possibility of considering how we do things. And what he invites now, though, what Jesus does next to this community, he reminds them, as he's told them, so he said, "I've told you so." But he takes it up a level by describing a relationship that is possible when one accepts Jesus Christ. And that will put an end to their disbelief. They will start believing. They will start understanding. And they'll quit asking these crazy questions over and over. So he invites them to take it to that next level. A relationship with Jesus as a shepherd. A relationship in which the sheep know his voice and the shepherd knows his sheep. And a relationship where Jesus as the Messiah is the one who gives eternal life. And they will never perish. And no one can snatch them out of his hands. The scripture says it. Once we have said yes to the shepherd, the good shepherd, the Messiah, our salvation, the Son of God, no one can snatch us out of his hands. So the answer does not change. The answer does not change. Jesus is the Messiah. That's what he tells this community. That's what he tells us. So brothers and sisters, I say then, perhaps we need to change the questions and change those questions and direct them at ourselves. Where is it in this world? Where is it maybe even in our own lives that we need to let go of what we want to hear so that we may more fully hear what God intends? Where is it that we need to let go of what we want so that we can hear what God intends? Where is it that we need to put the love of Christ and the will of God first? Where do we need to set aside ourselves so that God's will may be done? Where can we take these simple acts of faith and inject them into a world that still first looks inwardly? You see, brothers and sisters, Jesus set the expectation. And he established the authority pretty quickly. He said, "What the Father has given me is greater than all else. And no one can snatch it out of my Father's hands. So the Father and I are one." So what Jesus is offering is what the will of God is. What we have is God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And brothers and sisters, this eternal triune God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit cannot be contained in one question, in a simple question. No one can take this away. So today I ask you, do you hear his voice? And will you follow him? And if you do, are you willing to help others hear the voice of God through Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd, so that they too may follow him? In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.